Have your Bibles, the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 10. 1 Samuel, chapter number 10. I'm not trying to be the dead horse, but this may finish me up for a while on these particular chapters I've been dealing with.
Come on.
And it's been over several weeks. I've done a little series, and I haven't always done it consecutively, but I have this time. Amen. And I feel like there's just a lot of good practical stuff here in these verses and these chapters.
Yes.
For our everyday life. Amen. If you remember, we started this off in chapter number 8, the high price of getting things your own way.
Yep.
And then we went on down there, how the children of Israel cried and they said, "We don't want you." They rejected God. They didn't want God to be over them any longer. So they said, "Give us a king like everybody else." And you know the story. God, amen, in their rebellion against him, gave him what he wanted, even though it wasn't the will of God, the right, perfect will of God. And when so the second go around, I dealt more so with that, the will of God. I do want to be in God's will, don't you?
Yes, yes.
It's very important to be in God's will. I tell you what, there's not much else in this world that's much more miserable than being out of the will of God.
Yeah. Right.
You can have your pockets loaded with money and be the most miserable soul in all the earth if you're out of the will of God.
Sure.
You'll not find happiness. Amen.
Right.
And so, anyhow, the last time we dealt over there, how that God finally the choosing of the king in chapter number 9. And so, the Lord will help us. I won't read all the chapter this time. You can do that later. I found it kind of ironic. Chapter number 9, 27 verses. Chapter number 10, 27 verses. But I will just read a few verses. Chapter number 10, amen. Let's go down here to verse number 6. We'll get a few of these. And I'll probably preach throughout the chapter here today. And but at least you'll know where we're heading here. And I have a Thompson chain with me here today. And my little abbreviations there at the beginning says, Samuel, anoint Saul. And we realize that he already did that. Samuel did it privately. Remember that?
Yeah.
Samuel, amen. God spoke to Samuel, said, "Here's the next king." Samuel anointed. Samuel knew God had already called Saul. Amen. And so now this is the public anointing because Samuel already knew, but he wanted the people to know.
Yep.
And so they had to cast lots and all that. Samuel anoints Saul. He confirms him by the prediction of the three signs. We'll get into some of that here. Amen. Saul's heart is changed and he prophesies and he is chosen by lot at Mizpah. That's the summary of my Thompson chain of this chapter. So you get a little bit of where we're heading here. Amen. Verse number 6, "And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee. Thou shalt prophesy with them and shall be turned into another man."
Yep.
Wow.
Yes.
That's a message right there. Hallelujah. "And let it be that when these signs are coming to thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee." Verse number 8, "And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee, show thee what thou shalt do." Verse number 9, "And it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart."
Whew.
"And all those signs came to pass that day." God spoke. Samuel spoke to Saul and said, "I'm going to give you 3 signs that God has chose you to be king." And that very day, these 3 signs came to pass just as the prophet told him before they came to pass.
Right, right.
Prophesying happens before it happens, not afterwards.
That's it.
A lot of people like to say, "Well, I said that," but they never had the nerve to say it. Amen?
No.
Until after the fact. Glory to God.
Yeah.
Woo! We used to get on to my mom all the time. We still do. Found out she's got bad sleep apnea. But you go in a room and my mom be asleep and just she's always been a super light sleeper and you knew she's asleep, but she'd say, "I wasn't asleep." She'd argue up and down she wasn't asleep. Amen. Well, come to find out she really wasn't asleep because they said she ain't been really going to sleep. Amen. I guess you can go to sleep and not be asleep.
Yeah.
Woo, that's where my mom's been for a long time.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen. So just a real quick overview here. Chapter number 9, they chose a king. Amen. The Israelites asked for a king, and God gave them one. Samuel warned them of what a king would do. He'll take your sons. Remember that? He'll take your daughters.
Yep.
He'll take your land. He'll take a percentage of everything you've got. He'll take your livestock. He'll take your vineyards and your gardens. Amen. And feed his servants with them. And they said, yet give us a king. Amen. God gave them a king to meet their needs, but also to discipline them. Amen. I'm not going to preach my whole last message just to catch us up to date for those that, amen, haven't been in on this. And our Lord, amen, creates in each and every one of us a particular characteristic, amen, that we can do. I've got different abilities than Brother Tommy does.
Right.
And he's got different abilities than Brother Charlie does, amen. Not necessarily even speaking in the physical, we all know that, yep, but also in the spiritual, amen.
Right.
We can all reach different avenues and do different things, amen. That's why God called us all to be a body, amen.
Right.
And we're a branch in the tree because each and every one of us can do something different. Amen.
Yes.
I can't sing a song, but some of you can. You can't preach, but I can. Amen. I mean, everybody's got different callings. Hallelujah. I was aggravating Hudson last night. I said, Hudson, you ain't preaching. He used to love to preach. I said, you're losing your desire, son. I was getting on to him. Amen. Trying to spur him to preach a little bit. Hallelujah. Amen. We all got different avenues that God can use us. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I want to be used of God. Amen. To do what God has called me to do. I can't do what Brother Rice does because I ain't Brother Rice. Amen.
Right.
And I feel like sometimes that's what hinders us in services. Somebody said, well, I ain't going to sing because I can't sing like so-and-so. God didn't call you to sing like so-and-so.
Right.
He called you to sing like you. Amen.
Yes.
Well, wouldn't that be something if all us preachers would sit back and say, I'm not going to preach because I can't preach like Don Rich. Well, none of us would preach. Amen. Everybody's got a different calling. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's get up through here. So Samuel was Saul was a head and shoulders taller than everybody. He was a choice young man. He was obedient to his father. We already dealt with all this. He seemed to be very diligent. He had a concern for his father. He was open to counsel. Amen. If you're not open to counsel, you'll never mount anything out. Amen. And much less in the physical, much less in the spiritual. Amen.
Right.
If you're not open to counsel, if them fellas had been open to counsel, they might not have lost their job if they'd have kept their mouth shut.
Right.
Amen. Come on now. But a lot of people's going to do what they're going to do, amen, until something's done about it. I tell you, I don't want to be headstrong and stubborn like that, do
right.
you?
Right.
I want to be open to the counsel of God, amen. How does God counsel folks? A lot of different ways. Parents, we hit all this last time. Teachers,
yeah.
Pastors, preachers, spiritual leaders that's in your life. God will put somebody in your life to teach you what he wants you to be taught. Amen. Oh, yes, he'll put people in your life. Amen. So it gets us up to a pretty present time where I need to start here. Hallelujah. Amen. So God chose to call Saul, amen, against his perfect will, but because the people demanded it, he said, I'll give you a king. If you remember, Hosea said, I give him a king out of my anger, but out of my wrath, amen, I'm going to bring judgment upon them. So Saul says, I'm of the smallest of the tribes of Benjamin. My people are unknown, amen. It doesn't take a lot for God to use. He can use a rod in the hand of Moses, amen. He can use the jawbone in the hand of Samson to slay 1,000 men. Amen. David used 5 smooth stones to take down the giant. He only needed one of them. Praise God. Oh, yes. God used a handful of flour and meal. Amen. And oil. Praise God. In the hands of a widow woman to sustain her, her family, and the man of God through the famine. God can use just a little bit. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel faith coming in here already. Amen. The Lord used a little boy's lunch. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. What are they amongst so many? But he fed the multitudes. I come to tell us it doesn't take a whole lot for God to move. Amen. Oh, he had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Amen. Oh, yes, the So let's get to present. Samuel, amen, continues to speak to Saul, and he shows him the word of God. Amen. Saul had these good qualities, but they were no guarantee of success. Let me tell you something. I don't care how talented you are, you still need God. Amen. To preachers, Brother Tommy, you sing more than me. You've lived longer than me. But Brother Earl, the preachers that have had high talent, amen. I can name you several right now. I mean, great preachers had great ability. What about singers? Amen. Talented singers had great ability. But you can get to a place where you think you can do it on your own. And when you get there, you're in trouble. Hallelujah. I said, you can't sing the anointing. You might have talent, but it takes God to bring anointing. Yes. Woo! Amen. Oh, I'm trying to figure out which way I need to go here. Amen. I tell you, you can have talent and preach like a mockingbird. Amen. But I tell you, you cannot. You might muster up talent and manufacture talent, but you can't manufacture the anointing. Woo. Come on now. I said, you cannot manufacture the anointing. So Samuel's trying to let Saul know. Saul, what you better keep forefront in your life is God and God's anointing. Nothing else matters. Hallelujah. But if you'll keep God first in your life, he'll go ahead of you and he'll make the way. Hallelujah. But Saul, we later find, got to the place, amen, where he left God behind. He quit obeying God's commands and he did things his way. That's a bad place to be. That's a dangerous place to be. Amen. Oh, yes, in the 9th chapter, God calls Saul. And in chapter number 10, he acquits him. Oh, yes. And when God calls, he always equips for service. If God wants you to do something for him, he will give you the ability to do it. The key trait is to be willing. Saul is anointed by Samuel. Amen. Oh, yes. And in the Old Testament, anointing with oil was to set something aside for a special use of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And Saul had been anointed with oil. Hallelujah. He had a generous spirit. Amen. At the start, empty of jealousy. Amen. An ambition. But let us ask ourselves. Amen. I want you to look at this. Samuel. I want to hit this before I moved on here. Samuel anointing Saul to take his place.
Yeah.
Woo, look at this. 9 out of 10 men would have ambition in their heart. 9 out of 10 men would have jealousy rising up. That's my job. I've held this job all these years. And now he's anointing Saul to take his place. Not one bit, amen. Not one bit of an animosity, great God, towards Saul to take his job. That's a true man or woman that can praise somebody else for their accomplishments. Come on. Now, to people, you think it's your friend, and the first time you tell them something good that finally happened in your life, and they get upset and you, they're not a friend. Come on now. Great God, that took the wind out of some of your sail. Hallelujah. Amen. If you're really a friend of somebody, you're excited when God promotes them. You're excited when they get a raise on the job. You're excited that God decided to bless and to help them. Amen. We need to get rid of jealousy. Amen. We need to get rid of animosity. Amen. If somebody else gets up here and gets anointed to sing, you ought to get back there and say, get on them, Holy Ghost, get on them. Amen. Anoint them. Amen. Oh, it doesn't matter who preaches Thursday night, Sunday morning. So as long as they get anointed, amen, God, get on them. Let them preach it down. We ought to love one another before one another. Amen. Great God. Amen. Help us, Lord, to be happy for our fellow man.
Amen. That's right.
In the confirmation of God's call to Saul, amen, he said, I'm going to give you 3 signs, which were God's assurance of his calling. Amen.
Yeah.
The principles apply to us, I believe, even today. I'll get the majority of these three signs and I'm done. First, two men would tell the whereabouts of his donkeys on the border of Rachel's tomb. Amen. If you remember, this all started because Saul left home. He left the father, Kish. Amen. He left his father's whereabouts and he went out looking for some lost donkeys. Amen. And he just so happened to come by the man of God, Samuel, if you remember. Amen. And so Saul's primary reason for being here was he was trying to find his dad's animals. Amen. And so anyhow, God doesn't get sidetracked, amen, on what's important to us. Did you realize? Did you see that?
Yeah.
So he said, I tell you what, you've been here for several days now. You've been anointed. I put my hand on you. But the first sign when you go out there about Rachel's tomb, hallelujah. Man, this is good, ain't it?
Yeah.
Hey, God, do you remember who Rachel was? Rachel was the, amen, mother. Hey, God, of Benjamin. Hallelujah. And whose tribe was all out of Benjamin. Amen. When you get out there to great great grandma's tomb, you go find out where them donkeys are. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. When the servant of God is in the will of God, God will solve the problems. God accomplished what Saul could not. He found them donkeys. Hallelujah. And I want to take a minute to preach about this first sign. I tell you, God knows how to solve problems. Woo! Amen. We feel like sometimes because problems arise, we're out of the will of God. Well, if that's the case, I was aggravating my dad a night or two ago, and I said, man, everything's fell apart. Hey, God, you ever had one of them kind of weeks? My mower's tore up. Michelle's van's tore up. Amen. One of my other work trucks, check engine light's on, but it's got to keep on working, hopefully, for a few more weeks. Hey, amen. One, Michelle's washer tore up. They can't get one for a while, so she's running back and forth to Kathy's. Her washer tore up, but luckily she found one. Amen. I'm not here really dropping, but what I'm trying to tell you is life don't always go as planned. Life don't always go smooth. Our house upside down, got about half of it fixed from all these problems that I've told you we've been having. Amen. One thing after another. Hey, God, and when you're in that trial, the devil says, you must be out of the will of God. You must not be doing something right. Amen. And that's what he's been telling Michelle, more so than me. And I'm not saying this braggadociously, but I know when you work for God, you're going to fight the devil. Come on. Amen. You say anything. Hey, God, you get up and preach something, and that very thing will hit you the next day in the face. Come on now. Amen. The very thing you say, here's what I've got. Lay my mind up. I'm going to do this. And tomorrow, you're going to be tested whether you're going to do that or not. Come on. So I've already been there. Amen. I told my dad some of this. And he reminded me the other night on the phone. He said, you must be doing something right. Hey, God, you must be doing something right. Because all of hell is breaking loose. But oh, I come to tell us, God solves problems. Amen. And Saul's problem was he is trying to find them donkeys. And it was important enough to God to rouse them up. And they were safe waiting on Saul when he finally come out of the man of God's house. And I don't know when, I don't know where, but I feel like telling somebody tonight, God knows how to solve your problem. I said he knows how to solve your problem. It might not be when you think it ought to be, but I said God knows how to solve your problem.
I want to get this in here.
Yes, God.
I got two more signs to preach and I'm done. But listen, Brother Tommy. Remember when Joseph had a dream?
Yeah.
Joseph had a dream. His brothers got jealous. It's a long story, I realize, real quick.
Yeah.
Amen. So they really wanted to kill him. They threw him in the pit while they was making their mind up what they was going to do with it. Ishmaelite slave traders came by. A couple of the brothers said, there's our answer. Let's sell him. Let's get rid of him. We'll sell him. They'll take him. We'll never see him again.
Yeah.
Woo. So they thought.
Yeah.
But I said, God has a way of working out problems. So they sold him. You know the story. He goes down into Egypt, down at the slave auction block. Potiphar auction got the highest bid. He gets down. Potiphar's has to look back face and going better. But what he didn't realize is getting ready to get worse. Potiphar's wife accused him of sexual immorality. Amen. So he gets thrown down in the dungeon. So now Joseph's down here. I mean, things couldn't get much worse. Amen. And the best I could, amen, research, it looks like it's about 20 years of Joseph's life. Down. It looked like, amen, Joseph's life would never make a turnaround. But oh, when God gets ready, he knows how to turn it around. And I felt a little, amen, a breath of air down my spine right there. I said, when God gets ready, he knows how to turn it around. Glory! The old king sitting on the throne. My God, pray for me. I need the Lord to help me right here. I said that old Pharaoh, amen, had a dream that was tearing him all to pieces. Remember that?
Yeah.
And he said, can anybody interpret my dream? They had the magicians. They had everybody out there trying to interpret the dream. I've got to hurry here. And you know what happened? Finally, amen. Who was it? That butler, I think it was. That butler said, I know a man that can tell you what this dream means. I forgot him. He told me don't forget about him. But when I got back my job and I got out, I forgot about that man of God down there. But I know a man that can tell you what your dream means. So they called up Joseph out of the dungeon and he tells Pharaoh what his dream meant. Only 7 good years, 7 bad years. You better lay up in store of the good years, or the bad years will eat up, amen, the growth of the good years. Hey, guess what? Pharaoh said, amen, you're going to be the man that sets all this up. Them 7 good years, you're going to be sitting on the throne next to me. I come to tell you, 20 years of being down, 20 years of a night season, 20 years of depression, 20 years of questions. Why, God, why? Hey, but can you imagine being in that dungeon saying, God, why am I here? I've got a dream. You gave me a dream. You gave me a word. Amen. Why, God?
Yes, sir.
Have you ever been there?
Yes, sir. Come on.
I feel like preaching here.
Holy. Come on.
You got it.
But you know what happened? In a day, in a night's notice.
Yeah.
Joseph spent one night in the dungeon, and the next night he slept in the palace. Can you imagine that?
Turn around.
Can you imagine that?
Jesus.
Oh, my God in heaven. Woo! Hey, I need to finish this out, but right here is what somebody needs right here.
Yes, sir.
Did you hear me now? Amen. Don't get impatient with God. God, amen, knows what you need, and God cares about what you need. If God cared about Saul's donkeys, don't he care about your life? Don't he care about what you care about? I feel like telling somebody, God cares about what you care about. Amen. God wants to turn it around.
Praise the Lord.
Woo!
Amen.
Breathe.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
That's the first sign. I got 2 more signs and I'm done. Woo! Secondly, he said there'll be 3 men at the war which will give you 2 loaves of bread. Hallelujah. God's second assurance for Saul and us is that God will supply your needs.
Right.
If God sends you to do a work, he will supply the need to do the work.
Yes, he will.
I think about this church. When we set out and started the church down there in the West End, down there by the old Holiday Pools down there, I had no idea what God would do. But I'll testify 12 years later and say every time we've ever had a need, God has met that need. Woo! Amen.
Yeah.
Great God, can you say amen?
Right.
Every time we've ever need the Lord to move, He's always my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches in glory. We might have hit this a little bit the other night. How rich is God? He's richer than Jeff Bezos. He's richer than Warren Buffett. He's richer, amen, than Elon Musk. Hey, I come to tell us He's got more money than all them guys put together. But my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches in glory. Amen. As a new king, Paul, Saul would need provisions. The God who calls, amen, will equip. Oh, yes. And woo! I said the God who calls will equip.
Yes, right. He will.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
This was not regeneration, but it was the empowering of God for service. Saul, amen, would be turned into another man. Hallelujah. I don't know how come I lost my spot here. The God who calls will equip. The third sign is Saul would meet a possession of prophets. I read to you here a little bit ago. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and you will prophesy. Now, listen. Saul never prophesied. I already told you in the previous series of this, Saul wasn't even, he didn't even know who Samuel was. How can you live 20 miles from where the prophet lived? 20 miles. It says, as far as he lived away from Samuel, and he didn't even know who he was. When he saw him, he was looking at the prophet, and he said, can you tell us where the man of God is? He said, I am the man of God.
Amen.
So it lets us know Saul didn't, he had very little regards on spiritual man. He wasn't raised up in it.
Right.
Hallelujah.
All right.
So it's prophesied here. Samuel said the Spirit of God's going to come upon you and you're going to prophesy. This was not the regenerating, but the empowering of God for service. Saul would be turned into another man. This is what happens when the Lord gets a hold of you. Somebody said, I can't live for God. Oh, you can when He gets a hold of you. He'll change you into another man. He'll change your desires. He'll change the places you want to go to, the places you used to want to go to, you don't want to go to. I was thinking back there when I was praying and meditating here earlier, and this is just me. I had to quit it when I was young. My dad may remember. But when I was super young, believe it or not, I was addicted to video games. I loved them. I'd sit around for hours, Bill Tommy.
Yeah.
I can still tell you the code to get 99 more men for Contra. Up, down, right, BA, BA, select, start. Get 99 men. When you're on your last man, if you get to that certain spot, Brother Tom, get them 99 men.
Woo! Come on.
I mean, I was addicted to that. I loved it.
Yes, yes.
And I knew I got saved, and I was trying to battle serving the Lord and praying and going to church. And see, my all I could think about was playing them games. I know it's funny.
Come on.
Everybody fights different things.
Yes, they do. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So I prayed about that. I said, Lord, you know me. You know I want to serve you. You know I want to give you everything. If you'll help me, I can't quit this. I love this. But if you'll help me, I'll quit that. You know what the Lord did? He took the desire away.
Thanks.
Young boy. Yeah. Young boy. He took that desire away. And you know, there's nothing wrong playing a game, but when you play it hours a day, it's a problem.
Yeah.
So anyhow, I was thinking about that back earlier, Brother Keith. The kids all have little games on their iPads and stuff. And I've tried to play games. I just have no desire for it. I have no desire for games.
Come on.
You know why? Because the Lord changed my heart.
Yes.
Sure. He
yes.
turned me into another person.
Praise Amen. God. Praise God.
That's what He did for Saul. All Saul cared about up until this point was how to run a farm. How to do what his dad was teaching him how to be a farmer and how to raise cattle and how to raise donkeys and how to do all that. That's all Saul cared for. But when the Spirit of God got on him, the Bible said it changed him into another man.
Preach.
Wow. Jeez. This is where I really wanted to preach for a while, but now I'm out of time.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I tell you, I come to tell somebody the Lord can change you into another person. Hell yeah.
Yes, He can.
Glory to God. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name, Acts 1 and 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You can't live it. I've heard people after people come up and tell me, Brother Jason, I'd come to your church and I'd live for God, but I can't do it. I can't either. But when he gets in me, I can live for God.
That's it.
When he changes my desires, I can live for God.
Yes.
Go down there to AA meeting, and if it spares folks from alcohol, I'm glad for it. I'm not against it. If that helps to get 10 people off alcohol, I'm glad for that. And I'm the one that can change your desire, and you'll never want another taste of alcohol.
Right. Jesus.
Right.
I love hearing Brother Daniel Bracktell about that when he got saved that night up at the Church of God in Barbersville many years ago. He said he had a big pack of cigarettes right there in his pocket. And he said he got saved and at the church. He went to find them cigarettes. He said he couldn't find them. They were gone.
Gone.
I've thought about that. They might have fell out up there on the altar.
Sure.
Woo! And he said, I thought, wow, where's my cigarettes at? You know the story. And he said the Lord took that desire. That's a strong desire. I heard a doctor say it's 6 times more addicting than cocaine. God can take that desire. Do you believe that?
Yes, he can.
Hallelujah. He can change you into another man, another woman. Hallelujah. When God's Spirit, somebody help me out of prayer, I'm done. When God's Spirit comes into a man, it changes a man. He does become a different person. Saul could not become a new person on his own. It took the Lord to change Saul.
Right.
Zechariah 4 and 6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord.
Yes.
Woo! Samuel gets instructions to Saul to go to Gilgal. Wait for him. These words are crucial. Saul's obedience and failure to follow these instructions later lead to his rejection of being king. After meeting the prophet, Saul sees his uncle, and Saul still seems humble, and he mentions nothing of his kingship. Amen. Saul turned into another man. And then verse number 9, I want to get you that one, and then I'm going to finish this 10th chapter up. And it was so that when he turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart. So God turned him into another man, and he gave him another heart.
Yes, he did.
I'm going to preach this another time.
Come on, buddy.
God can give you a brand new heart. God can give you a heart for the things of God.
Yes, he will.
I told in a couple of youth camps this year traveling around about that story of Secretariat. I can't remember that I've ever told it here in a message. But anyway, Brother Earl, Secretariat, that great racehorse. It was debated that he was the greatest, and you know how it is. Some say, well, no, this one was the best. But really, when it comes down to it, Secretariat, he was a Triple Crown winner. He had won more races than any horse ever. But it wasn't until his death that they found out what made Secretariat great. When I was reading that, Brother Tommy, I liked to shout it when I was reading that. But old Secretariat, matter of fact, you can go, everybody be doing this later. I Googled it, and so I was reading that, and it just had me so enthusiastic. They said the very last race, what is this, the Belmont, when you got to win the Triple Crown, the very last, the third race of the Triple Crown, whichever race it was the longest race. And most horses, Kentucky Derby and the other one is a short race, most of them horses, they can win that because they get a burst of energy real fast. Amen. And that third race always gets them because it's a long race and you have to have endurance to win that long race. So everybody thought, well, Secretariat's going to go up to that last Triple Crown and he don't have endurance. Whew. You know what happened, Brother Earl? I YouTubed and got on there. You can YouTube later. I YouTubed and got on there. And old Secretariat, up to about half of the race, Brother Charlie, he was middle. He started off the end of the pack. For about half of the race, he was in the middle of the pack. And you know, they thought, Secretariat's gone. He don't have a chance. And about the middle of that race, something hit old Secretariat, and he took off out of there. And he passed them up. He passed the first place up. He kept going. He finished that race, I think it was 33 horse lengths ahead of every horse on that track. He still holds the record today on that track. They said he didn't have it in him to win the long race, and he set the record. But they said it wasn't until the death of Secretariat that they found out what made him great. You know what that was? They did an autopsy on him. The average weight of a thoroughbred horse's heart weighed 9 pounds. you know, how much Secretary's heart weight. And they examined it. It wasn't because it was enlarged by sickness. It wasn't enlarged because one chamber was bigger. He had a natural, normal heart, and it weighed 21 pounds.
Wow.
And that autopsist guy said he came to a conclusion. He said Secretary was great because Secretary had a heart to win.
He's
God stand in this house here. And God gave Saul another heart. I come to tell you, God can give you another heart. He can give you a heart to win. He can give you a heart towards the things of God.
Hallelujah.
What do you have a desire for? Amen. God can turn that desire around.
Right.
Give me a heart to win. Hallelujah. Give me a heart for God. Give me a heart for the things of God. Every one of us, amen. We all had passions, all had desires, amen. Brother Tommy's took, he liked the fast muscle cars, amen. Yeah. He liked things of them. We've all got things that would draw us and pull us. But you got to, amen, turn your heart towards God and let God give you another heart, amen.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
I'm done. But anyway, so Saul's on his way. Samuel's called all the people to Mizpah. And he says, we're going to anoint a king. Saul sees his uncle. And his uncle says, what's going on? He tells him about the donkeys are found and all that. But he never mentioned nothing about being anointed king. So he gets on down there. All the people's gathered together. Lots are cast. The lot comes down to the tribe of Benjamin. The lot comes down to Saul's dad's house.
Yep.
The lot comes down to a young man named Saul. But guess what? Saul's gone. He's not even there. He's worried. He's scared to death. They had to go find him.
Yep.
They had to go find Saul. Said, Saul, they're going to anoint you to be kings. I think Saul was shaking. He said, oh, yeah, I know all about that. Samuel done did that. Oh, God. You don't have to be afraid, church. You don't have to be afraid of trying to live a Christian life. If God anointed you for it, God called you for it, and God saved you, you could live a Christian life.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Don't be afraid. Don't be absent. Don't be missing in action. God's counting on us. God's dependent on you. Are you going to serve Him? Are you going to give your whole heart and live 100% for God?
Jesus.
You'll never be an effective Christian. Always looking back, looking ahead.
Looking back,
looking ahead.
My Lord,
I'm done here. Some people, you know why they never can get rooted and grounded? Because they never can get their eyes on the trials. You got to bury the past. You got to bury the past. My. You gotta bury the past. If it wasn't, I could look it up. You can look it up. I think it was Washington, George Washington, when they was in that war. He gave commands to hook dynamite up to the bridge, and he said, "When we get across it," he said, "blow." They had another battle ahead. He said, "Blow the bridge."
Yeah.
They got worried and nervous. They said, "General Washington, before he was ever president, General Washington," they said, "what if we need to run?" He said, "There's no running."
Woo! No going back.
There's no going back.
Woo. We're heading straight.
Thank you,
Lord.
Bow your head with me here while she's playing. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Lord. Somebody in this house, God really needed this word. I felt your spirit. I felt the Holy Ghost in 2 or 3 different points in particular. Now I pray, Lord, that you'd let this lodge in that heart that needed it. Build up faith, God, right now. Build that faith, God, that they need to know that you're in control of all things. Lord, you will supply our need. God, you will be a God in the storm in that night season. Lord, you'll give us another heart and turn us into another person. All right, would there be one now that would respond to the preaching of the Word of God and say, "Brother Jason, I'm going to get in these altars tonight. I'm going to say, Lord, I need you, God." Come on, come on, come on. Somebody needs to respond right here. These altars are open.
Lily of the valley, let your sweet aroma fill my mouth. Oh, rose of Shine on me, let your love shine through me.